Blog Talk Radio.
But none of that even matters now. Your history isn't your destiny. And you'll find in this life that if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. But today's a new day. You stop looking at all the reasons why you consider yourself a victim. You're still here. Nothing has stopped you yet. You've been hit, you've been poked, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt. There's no doubt life has challenged you, but you're still here. You're no victim. You're a victor. You have a history of victory. The only truth is that you are nothing less than spectacular. Stop doubting yourself. You were put on this earth to thrive. Don't you dare put a question mark where God put a period.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to ask a question of myself or my guest. Joining us shortly, Marianne Rodmacher, internationally best-selling author, artist, and great friend of the show. She comes on to share her insight, her wisdom. Today we're going to be talking about the call to serve takes many forms in the life of a compassionate heart. Always looking forward to our chats with Marianne. First, I want to say hello to the Better Today community and everyone out there making a difference. Never forget the power of one. Get out there and make a difference. Stop overanalyzing everything and get out there and make a difference. Don't have that paralysis by analysis. Go out there and know that one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time, totally makes a difference. Don't listen to anybody who tells you it doesn't. Actually think about it. If just one person takes the gesture of telling you it doesn't make a difference and they talk you out of making a difference, imagine what a huge impact that would have. But instead, know that those kind gestures you do is very simple. It doesn't have to be huge. A simple kind gesture can change someone's life. It's probably happened to you in your life. I know it's happened to me in mine. Get out there and participate in this wonderful journey of humanity, this wonderful spiritual journey of life. Get out there. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's get to the show. Marianne Rodmacher is internationally best-selling author, artist, who has touched the hearts of many with her popular cards, books, posters, journals. And, of course, she conducts workshops and writing seminars on living a full, creative, and balanced life. She's a huge friend of the show and one of my life mentors. Her website is marianerodmacher.net. Marianne, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve Marabowie.
Oh, it's so good to have you back on, especially
talking about
the call to serve and how many forms it can take.
Yep, I'm excited to talk about that too.
You know, when you have this call to serve, I always said, this you talk to God and you talk to God. And when God calls you, he calls collect. And you got to be willing to accept the charges. And that's the truth. That's what I've learned in my own calling. And it does take many forms. It's all about adapting and improving, enhancing your ability to serve this calling.
I'd like to just flip back to what you said in your introduction. You encouraged your listeners to stop over-analyzing and just go serve. I was speaking with a longtime friend last night who, for 2.5 years, she and her partner have been analyzing and considering the variety of options to serve that they have in their community. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. So how many months is that? That's 30 months. And I couldn't help myself. Rather than just being a compassionate listener, I started being a coach, and I started saying, well, you know, the United States Bear Force brings stuffed animals to people in need all over the world, and Soldiers Angels, and I started giving her this whole list, and she said, well, we're looking for something closer to home, and I'm thinking, what about that requires 30 months of analyzation? Is that a word, analyzation?
It is now.
And I hope some of your listeners are laughing, because it's so tempting to become cerebral about the service that we give. I just finished reading the very popular novel, The Help, and throughout that novel is the irony of the service organization that wouldn't allow black people to participate as they raised money for the starving children in Africa. the capacity to become mentally embroiled in service sort of skews what it is that we actually end up doing. And service can be as simple as holding open the door at the post office or letting someone else go first in line at the grocery store. Those are the fundamental everyday kinds of service. And in fact, Steve, we're having this conversation today because of a practical everyday kind of service that you provided on the day that we were going to have our originally scheduled interview. Will you talk about that?
Briefly, it was a really hot day. So it was going to hit 100 degrees again in New York City. So a bunch of us got together, and it turned out to be a big turnout, and got together and gave out water in New York City to the homeless, to the veterans, which are usually the same, and just folks walking by. And the only thing I asked of everybody that came, that there's no preaching, there's no anything. Just have some water, have a great day. Something like that, and that was my only rule, and yeah, we do that we do that pretty often. I don't talk about it too much because what I've learned in my own experience, Marianne, is that when you talk too much about the things you're doing, I originally used to talk about it more because I thought that it would inspire people, and it does definitely inspire people. But then my talking about the scale at which I've been doing this, because I've been doing this for over a decade. So I can get together 100 people in New York City in a second. So what I thought would inspire people does inspire some, but at the same time, I become a component of the overanalysis, because then somebody just sitting in their home who hasn't built this big network is saying, well, how can I do what Steve's doing? I can't go. What am I going to do? Give out 5 or 10 bottles of water?
Absolutely.
Steve's doing 1,000. So I stopped really talking about it too much because I didn't want to be a part of that over-analysis. Instead, I always tell people when, like in your friend's situation, I say, this is our economy. We have to kind of switch the way we do things. You got to spend your kindness like you're spending your money. And the over-analysis has to come from your money. Be cautious with that. Think about that for 2.5 years before you make a big expense, before you pay a big expense or go into debt. But your kindness, spend that like most people spend their money now, just throwing it everywhere, because that's always going to come back. You can't ever run out of kindness. The bank of love is never bankrupt, and you get out there and you participate in any and every level.
So if we don't talk about the numbers and we don't talk about the scale and we drop the word big or passed out a lot, but look at the model of what you did, here's what I know. It wasn't weeks in the planning. It was spontaneous. And before you did it, you didn't exactly know who was going to show up or who you were going to ask. You just called your network. And everybody has a network. Some people's network might be three people. Somebody else's network might be 300 or 3,000. It doesn't matter. What matters is that it's your network. So that's the model you followed. You had an impulse. You accommodated it. Your schedule, and you were flexible based upon the need. You reached out to your network, and you filled the need that was most basic and really easiest to fill. You from one hand to another, a bottle of water on a hot day.
It's exactly. I didn't plan it, just like I don't plan to open the door for somebody when I go to the post office. You just do it, and if I see somebody struggling with their groceries on the way out of the grocery store, I don't plan it either, but I'll go help them bring it to their car. It's very simple, and what I've learned, Marianne, is the less you talk about it, the more effective it is. At this, I used to say, okay, a Better Today community, we're going to meet over here, and I'd make a big deal out of it, and people would show up. Of course, about half the people would show up who were saying they were going to show up. Well, I'll be there, and then you get the same amount of emails saying why they couldn't make it, but instead, I don't even do that anymore. I just say, hey, I'm going to New York City to give out water. And the people who are going to do it are going to do it with me. They're going to be next to me, or they're going to go out in their yard and give out water. I got an email from somebody who's got the neighborhood kids together, and they had a lemonade stand and a nice tea stand, and as people got closer, they realized that it was no charge. At all. So, you know, you just do it in your own ways. I think that the less, you know, it's kind of like talking about spirituality or even the concept of God. The more words you add to it, the more you dilute it. And I'm starting to learn that not to add so many words out there to it. Just to say, hey, be nice, make a difference. What would you like someone to do for you? If they're, you know, if they're thirsty, give them something to drink if you can. It gets simpler. Maybe as I get older and a little wiser, Marianne, and I get out of my own way a little bit, I start recognizing that it's even more simple than the simplicity I had anticipated.
The service, I have a very good friend, Billy Beck III. He lives in Florida. He is a professional trainer to celebrities and football teams and ordinary people. And I know in his experience there are people that talk about the reps that they've done. You know, that's their conversation in the day. Oh, you should have seen me at the gym this morning. I did this many reps with this much weight. And then there are people who just live their fitness. They don't talk about it. They don't even say they went to the gym. They don't say, oh, Billy Beck's my trainer. They just live their training. And service is like that. It's a muscle. And the more you exercise it, the more natural it becomes to your environment and the less you have the need to talk about it, because it's not an exception anymore. It's a rule. When you are – yeah?
No, I was going to say, it's a way of life. You're absolutely right.
Yep. The that sitting to my right here on the I say, the more you do it, the less you have to talk about it, and then I'm going to tell you something that I'm getting ready to do. But we're in the context of providing a model of actions and activities for your listeners. So I have this pile to my right that's headed to military personnel that are deployed. A lot of our soldiers are coming home. Thousands of our military personnel are in the process of being extracted specifically from Afghanistan. And so I've adopted a couple of new soldiers that are that are being left behind, that are still there. And in these days where a lot of their mates, whole companies are being extracted out of camps, I think it's even more important to turn our eyes to the military personnel that are remaining behind. It's they're giving essential service they're losing some of their best friends who get to go back home. And I think that the environment of service is even more challenging. Is that I've not ever been in service, Stephen. You have. Have you experienced being on base or being deployed when a large contingent of your peers are taken away?
Yeah, it makes everything. It's when anything's taken away, it makes the whole area less stable. It gives a sense of this is why communication becomes so important. From the commanding leaders down, to make sure that everyone stays in the loop. They just, you know, after being told for however long, we need this many people here to be safe, you start panicking when a bunch of them start leaving. So that's where that conditioning starts affecting the morale. So morale starts going because first you start feeling unsafe, and then morale starts going, well, when's it my turn to leave? Why are they all leaving?
Yeah, why am I the one that's here?
Exactly. Who turns out the lights here? Because that's when it's going to be really dangerous. So communication becomes really important, and, of course, support becomes really important. We start using language here, and it'll be language from our governing officials. That'll start using the end and closure. They start using words like that, folks. Does not mean that our brothers and sisters and sons and daughters aren't still over there, and they still need your support as if it was still in the middle of the war. Their reality hasn't changed any, even though our
news
has changed. Yeah, they're still there. So let's not let up on that at all.
And I love the message that Mrs. Obama and Mrs. Biden are sharing with the country right now, and it really fits with the call to serve takes many forms in the life of a compassionate heart, because every person that is deployed over there has behind them the list you just made, a parent, a child, a wife, children. And those people here in the United States, they're serving too. They're serving by what they don't get to have in their lives every day. And that is another area of service and giving that our listeners can be aware of and be on the lookout for. Is there a military family in your community who learned that mommy was asked to stay another term of service? They need service. They need support. They need a friendly hand, too.
You know, it's so true. And what's fantastic about where we're speaking with Marianne Rademacher. She's a best-selling author. She's an artist. She's, for me, one of the great minds in writing. She has helped me so much in so many ways. Her writing workshops are incredible. Her website's MarianneRodemacher.net. You've seen her art all over the place. She's got some fantastic pieces. Again, check out MarianneRodemacher.net. You know, Marianne, what I love that we're talking about, we're speaking, our topic today is the call to serve takes many forms in the life of a compassionate heart. You know, the call to serve is so open. There's so many ways you can serve. You don't have to just do what I'm doing or what Marianne's doing or what we're talking about. There are so many ways to serve. You know, any way that you cause a smile, that you help somebody who doesn't even know that you're helping them, that's something that I love doing as well. And In our 365 Ways book, we talk about some of those ways as well. And I love getting the feedback from so many of you who are thinking of things I never thought of, because the amount of ways you can serve. Marianne, you occasionally will send me mail out of nowhere, and it'll be something beautiful or it'll be a little note, or you'll send me even a text message. I can't even tell you what a smile that causes on my face for a couple of reasons. First, Marianne, you know this, we're in the public eye, so while people often express their admiration and love for us, we really are often in an ocean of strangers. And it's always great for me to hear from somebody I know, for someone who I've met and ate with and sat with and hugged. It's an incredible blessing. But something so simple, just the thought of that, can really change my entire day.
I want to thank you for that, and it means the same to me when you reach out to me. And those listening, here's the model, the structure for that. Because people dial back and say, yeah, Marianne, you're a professional writer. Of course you'd do something like that.
Right.
Well, that's not really the same thing. Tending your friends using the written word is really nothing like being a professional writer. They're two very
right.
different skill sets. And the model to serving, the model to hearing the call to serve comes from keeping a promise to yourself, from listening, from being willing to hear and open to the prompt, listening to your instinct, following your impulse. Some people in your listening audience know it as listening to that still small voice. And when you don't do it, what you have is that pulse of regret, that moment where you say, oh, I could have, oh, why didn't I think of doing this? Because it occurs to you an hour later after the opportunity is passed. So it's a matter of exercising that muscle. Again, I say, service is a muscle. You have to exercise it to get it to be strong and healthy and able to be in use. And the more you utilize it, the more natural it becomes. Anybody that's ever approached a weightlifting program knows that the first 20 pounds for weaklings like me are like, how will I ever be able to lift that with ease? And months into the program, you're hauling weights that you never imagined that you would be because you have built the muscle. And that's what it is with service. You have to learn how to hear the impulse when it strikes. I'd be interested to know how that works for you and for some of your listeners. How do you train yourself to hear the impulse in time to act on it? How do you do that?
You know, for me, it's not even a voice so much as a feeling. I know what I need to do. What I've learned in my time is that often you'll get a lot of answers to your questions. Marianne, one of the most common questions I'll get is, how do you know when you find your calling? And or what is there a way to know exactly what your calling is? And I'll usually respond back, when you figure that out, teach me how. Because I really don't know. I think that when you just go, I don't need to know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. And most of the stuff that I've built has been from little actions. When I go hand out water, I listen. Hey, what's going on? I'll say, hey, what's going on? It's hot. I'll throw them a bottle of water, and when they answer, I listen. We have conversations. Some conversations are 2 minutes long. Some are 20 minutes long. Some are kind of military, vulgar conversations, and some are a highbrow conversations. It all depends, but I'm always listening. And I think that the best advice I could give anybody who wants to serve, if I've learned anything, and Marianne, you could share your experience as well, but all the people I know who say, yes, I know what my purpose is. I know what my calling is. I found what I'm here to do. They'll use language like that. 100% of the times, the thing that follows that statement is some sort of service. There, it's art, it's music, it's some sort of philanthropy. 100% of anyone who has ever told me I found my calling, they followed that with service, some sort of service. So what I found is that if you don't know what to do, or maybe you're not in the shadow of New York City here, and maybe you're in Iowa or Nebraska or wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You go to your local church, your women's group, your Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever. There's plenty of places for you to volunteer in some way in your community. You go out there, and by taking that step towards service, synchronicity takes over, and you'll find things that call your heart. And when your heart is singing its song and you're in alignment, you can't help but hear it.
And for those folks living in Iowa, they know there's a whole community waiting for service right there, because they're the people that still don't have electricity, and they're the people that had their homes destroyed by storms. All throughout the country,
exactly.
There are people in circumstances unimaginable thanks to natural disasters. Steve, a friend of mine's given me permission to to use her work whenever I want to, and she is a blogger, and I would love to read something that she wrote. May I do that?
I would love you to.
Her name is Ellen Lambert, and she writes a blog on Braveheart Women called Ellen Out Loud. And so many people are engaged in service that they hate because they've been roped in as a volunteer or because they've done it for 10 years and they can't figure out a way to get out of the obligation. And the last sentence in this short piece is really what I'd like to call the sniff test for right level of service. Here we go. Thanks, Ellen. Yesterday I wrote about the value, she said, in finishing something you've started no matter how long it takes. But that got me thinking on my walk this morning about all the things I tried to finish that I should never have started. Any craft, project, or endeavor, including the words some assembly required, is definitely not on my list. I learned long ago if you can't put something together right away, it's time to call in an adult. Some relationships were not meant to persist. Some career paths don't have to be followed. I guess my point is, as much as I'm a proponent for chasing the dream, pursuing the goal, sticking to it with everything you've got, every once in a while it's okay to abandon the ship, call it a day, give ourselves permission to give up. There's that famous expression about winners and how they never quit. But sometimes, some important times, it's critical to know when to say when. When your gut says that's enough, then it's probably time to consider throwing in the towel. Have you ever known the right thing to feel wrong? Neither have I. It's only when we keep trying to convince ourselves that up is down, wrong is right, that we get that crummy feeling that just won't go away. I believe certain pursuits finally reach their expiration date. They just aren't good anymore, if they ever were. You can keep refrigerating spoiled milk, but it's still gone bad. And if you're lactose intolerant, you shouldn't have gotten it in the first place. With the time, energy, and effort we put into the wrong things, imagine what we could do if we stuck to the right ones. And here's the line, the right ones always smell better. The sniff test. And you and I often talk about opposite ends of the spectrum of the thing that we're discussing, Steve. And so here's the opposite end of right service, and that's being in service that's not correct in your gut. Maybe some people haven't noted the distinguishing characteristics between being a doormat and being in service. And for some folks, the line is pretty thin between those two things. Is that a fair element to bring up, do you think?
I think that's a very fair element to bring up, and I'm glad that you bring it up, because I often get asked a question similar to that as well, about when people aren't being appreciative. And I keep pretty closed around me a way that I found emotionally to defend myself from that kind of thing is that you do exactly what you just read, actually. It's what feels good. What feels good and what doesn't feel good, what feels right, what doesn't feel right, and to participate and pay attention to your own feelings. When I opened the door for someone, Marianne, it used to drive me crazy if they didn't say thank you, or even worse, for me, one of the most nasty human things you could have is a sense of entitlement. And when someone would have a sense of entitlement that not only did I open the door for them, but maybe I didn't open it fast enough or wide enough or somewhere like that, I used to almost feel my blood boiling. And I had to learn to defend myself against this. And the way that you do it is you could either try and change them, which I promise you will never happen, or you could figure out a way and say, hey, listen, I'm serving to serve. I'm not serving for their reaction. I'm not serving for their appreciation. I'm serving because, as Gandhi said, my life is my message.
That's the real deal, isn't it, Steve? Because when you're serving for the appreciation and you don't get it, you start sounding a lot like a martyr. Oh,
yeah.
I give so much. People don't appreciate what I do. Oh, wait,
you're right.
that's That's not a that's a whiner. I get martyr and whiner confused sometimes. Sorry. But
you're absolutely right. You go into that victim mentality, and somehow something that was to be so beautiful and helpful turns into something that's actually poisoning you. So, yeah, you're right, and it's important to make that distinction. I love how this show is going. And, folks, we're having a great conversation with Marianne Rademacher. She's a best-selling author of Courage Doesn't Always Roar, of Lean Forward Into Your Life, of Live Boldly, of Live With Intention. She's got tons of fantastic books. She's an incredible artist. And good news is you can check out MarianneRodmacher.net for more information about her work, her products, her writing classes or workshops. Check out MarianneRodmacher.net. If you're listening through our site, just click on Marianne's name. It'll take you right to MarianneRodmacher.net. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to get to some feedback, I promise. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
The power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
What if you knew you had the power to change the world? Would you take action? What action would you dare to take today if you knew you had this power? Well, you do. We all do. We all have the power to change the world, and using that power can be as simple as performing one kind act each day. We can never truly measure the great potential of a well-placed act of kindness. Participate in this great journey. Get out there. Cause a smile. Today's a new day.
The power of one kind gesture, one person at a time. One day at a time.
This is Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements, speaking for Empowered Living with Steve Maraboli.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check out our websites, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. stevemaraboli.com, so you're going to start finding my blog. We're going down to one show a week during the summer months of July and August. It'll only be a show at the beginning of the week. It'll be a feedback show. But for the rest of the week, you can check out some blog entries. We're doing some video blogs, some vlogs also from Empowered Living Radio Extras. I'll be recording in high def right here in the studio for a couple minutes after the show, taking some feedback and just having the same conversations we're having during the show, but in high def video that we'll be posting at our new YouTube channel as well. So stay at stevemaraboli.com. and empoweredlivingradio.com for all our updates, as well as our new magazine format newsletter. Everything we're doing is available 100% free. The only thing I ask is that you share. Let people know about wonderful folks like Marianne Rodmacher. Let them know about websites like MarianneRodmacher.net. Let them know about this radio show, and let them know that no matter what they're hearing, no matter how dreary, melancholy, or pessimistic their outlook may be, there's some people out there, whole lot of them, who want to make a positive difference, and let's get out there and work together to create the world we want to live in. Let's get out there and make a difference. Folks, we're having a great conversation with Marianne Rodmacher. She's an internationally best-selling author, writer, artist, and of course, she conducts workshops and writing seminars on living a full, creative, and balanced life. Her writing courses are fantastic. I've taken them, and Marianne is an incredible teacher, tutor, and the way she lives her life is just fantastic. And, you know, she does some, you got to check back on some of our archive shows. She did some fantastic things, anti-bullying. Marianne, she's a huge, huge inspiration to me. Check out MarianneRodmacher.net. Let's go with some feedback. We're going to go with Talia. Talia is in San Francisco, and she says, "Hey, Steve, you New Yorkers did something good recently by accepting the marriage law. Congrats to all of you on making the right decision. Could you please ask Marianne, when it comes to service, does it have to have some sort of religious or spiritual connotation? Can you just serve in a secular sense as well?"
Well, Talia, I don't use those contrasting terms because I'm going to borrow the title of your book, Steve. I believe in the power of one, and I believe that the more unified a person is in their living experience, the more powerful they are. So I never define myself as secular, nor do I define myself as spiritual. I am one powerful person listening to my guiding impulses. And so vocabulary aside, Talia, the impulse to serve is its own justification, and it has its own reward, and it doesn't require definition or categorization. Just do it.
Just do it. I'm telling you, Talia, I've learned this. Listen from my stubborn ass. I've learned this. The more you try to define something, the more you're diluting it. Just go out there and do it. It's going to be the simplest thing that ignites that spark, that it's going to be the simplest thing that can connect you with the other people who want to go out there and do it. There's a bunch of people, Talia, that will talk your ear off when how and who and why is the right and time and the weather. Get your ass out there and do it, and you'll see what an impact you'll have, not only in their life, but on your own life. And thank you for your feedback. And let's keep going with some more feedback. Let's go with Toby. Toby's in Calgary, and Toby says, "Hey, Steve, I love when you and Marianne are on. Could you please ask Marianne, as far as posters goes, if she's going to be putting some more of her work in posters? I find that I'm buying her books and putting them into frames, but they're always little, 4x6, 5x7, etc. Is she going to do more of her work in posters, and is it available, if not on a mass level, is it available in custom posters?"
Wow, Toby, talk about listening to timing and impulse. Thank you so much. Steve, do you remember when we were in that huge lobby together and you said to me, "Fine, you're a writer, Marianne. Write, keep writing." But lots of people write. What I am grabbed by about your work is your art. And get into your art. Create more art. Do you remember saying that to me?
I do.
Well, Toby, I'm very excited to tell you that I pay a lot of attention to what Steve Maraboli tells me, and I've been following a thread of an utterly new design for me, an utterly compelling art application that just makes my heart sing. And I am days away from partnering my brand new created artwork with an entirely new body of writing, and it will be available, and each piece will be original. Each piece is an original collage, and it will be available on my website commercially in about 5 days. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Talk about timing. That's the first time I've said that out loud to anybody outside of my household. So, yay! Thank you, Toby, in Calgary.
And that'll be MarianneRodmacher.net?
It will. And the tab, the name of the series is Designed to Enlighten.
Designed to Enlighten. I love it.
With an emphasis on the word design and light. So really what you see when you look at it first is design light.
I got a beautiful... Sorry, go ahead.
And all of the work. Steve, I'm excited to be telling you and Toby and your other thousands of listeners at the same time. The impetus, the seed of each of the pieces of writing is when my associate who supports my work by buying this poster looks at this, will they feel light and will they be inspired by the visual, by the design? And so that's the measure every piece has to get through before it becomes public.
Oh, when you hear how excited Marianne gets, I can't be the only one who wants to jump through the computer and just give her a big hug. Marianne's art is incredible. I just recently received in the mail this wonderful book, Us, Celebrating the Power of Friendship by Marianne Rodmacher. And again, this is classic Marianne. Beautiful art. It's all uplifting, and I could totally see what Toby is saying about just taking these pages out and framing them. It seems like every page is frameable. Tell us about this book, Marianne.
I was 19 years old when Professor Sparks leaned over my half door into my little receptionist cubicle at the college I worked at and said, "What are you working on, Marianne?" Because I got to work on personal projects when I wasn't answering the 8 lines coming into the college. And I said, "I'm writing a book on friendship." And he said, "Oh, I can't wait to read it." And I, at 19, said, "Well, I think it's going to be my first book that I publish." Well, at 19, I had a vision for publishing, but it turns out that Us was the 9th book that I published, not my first. And many of the pieces in this book were written when I was 19 years old, and my friends were my family. My friends actually raised me. That's the truth of my life experience. And so while it's filled with a great deal of writing that's new and from this perspective in my life, many of the pieces were from that vision I had as a 19-year-old writer that this was going to be the content for my first book. So that's what I'll tell you about it.
Well, it's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I love brilliant simplicity, and there's a whole lot of it in here. Simple, one sentence, two sentence, sometimes just a couple of words, and it just really makes you think, and it does help you. It helps you feel inspired, and anyone who looks at your art can not only see the inspiration and beauty in it, but they could see the love that you put into this. Marianne, there's some people who are reluctant in their blessings, but but you could see in your art that this is a gift that you embrace and absolutely appreciate and want to share. So congrats on that book, and thank you so much for sending me a copy. We're going to keep going with some more feedback. We got about 15 minutes left.
No.
Let's go with, it's, and folks, we're only doing a one-hour show today, so no feedback hour this show, so I want to get to as much feedback as possible.
Okay, here we go.
We'll go with Jocelyn. Jocelyn is in North Platte, Nebraska, and she says, Steve, thank you for saying that earlier. This isn't a booming metropolis, but at the same time, you're right, there are plenty of places I can serve. Could you please give Marianne a big hug for me, because she talked about the art programs in schools, and I was able to get together 10 local mothers, and we have totally revamped our school's art program and found the funding in the local merchants, has drawn our community together and boosted a school program, boosted an art program the school has never seen before. I will keep you both posted. My question is, of course, how do we help inspire our children to see that art is still valid, to see that art is a relevant strength in our society when they're watching, they had to watch us struggle to keep the program open in schools in the first place. How do we keep art in the forefront?
Jocelyn, there is a website that is a model for anyone in the country. It's Thea, T-H-E-A, foundation.org. And I'm testing my memory as I say that to you on the radio. Yes, TheaFoundation.org. They are a foundation that was begun from a tragic accident in a single family, and it has become a statewide support system for the arts in Arkansas. And Jocelyn, you are demonstrating to those children by your actions how valued art is in your life. And you can't, in 1 year, you can't make the school system provide that model, but you're providing it, and you provide it every day by the little doodles you make on the lunch bag and by the cards that you make for your friends. Mothers, bring art into your home. It doesn't have to be complex. It can be as simple as cookie cutters. Get the cookie cutters out of your drawer and grab a grocery bag and outline the cookie cutter on the grocery bag, and punch a hole in the top of it, and let that be a card to your friend or a gift tag. Empower your children to use the materials you have in your home to repurpose and create something new. Art doesn't have to be costly at all. It's available. Yay, Jocelyn! I can't wait to hear more. I'm so proud of them.
It's interesting that you say that because, and thanks, Jocelyn, because we were talking earlier and I was saying, you know, service, there's no rules. There's opportunity to serve in everything. And you just brought up a good point that there's an opportunity for art in everything as well.
It's true. Art heals. Art instructs. Art rocks.
Art rocks. Let's keep going. Let's go with Alicia. Alicia is in Sacramento, California, and she writes, Steve, big hugs in California. Could please ask Marianne if she's going to head out our way and if she's going to do any sort of book tours with her books. I get sick of seeing all these other gurus do book tours. I'm curious when we have the authentic ones going to come out and meet us, talk to us, and also share their art.
Alicia, I'm doing a virtual tour for us from the end of July through August, and that will be on blogs, and you can see where I'll be being interviewed and appearing. I am going to be offering the opportunity via Skype to do home groups. So if you have a group of women that you want to gather and have a brief session with me via Skype, you can send me an email and we'll talk about that. The only appearances that I have planned are way in the fall in Wisconsin and Chicago and Illinois. So, and I'll post those on my website.
MarianneRodmacher.net.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alicia.
This question is, this one's quick for me, from Natalie's in Cleveland, and she says, Steve, what do you do with the art that Marianne sends to you? And Natalie, I have it all over my office, my home, and there's even art that she shared with my parents that's in their home. Marianne Rodmacher is another member of our family, and her art lives with us, so we appreciate it. And I'm telling you, check out MarianneRodmacher.net. There's so much great stuff, and I'm really happy that even more, because as far as I'm concerned, it was a small fraction that was available. Even though you'd see it in most stores, and you go into different stores and you see Marianne's work, it's just a fraction. If you actually dive into the world of Marianne Rodmacher and check out her books, you see that there's so much that isn't getting the attention it needs to get, and I'm so glad that this brilliant woman is finally sharing with all of us in full capacity. So check out MarianneRodmacher.net. Let's keep going. We'll go with Tina. Where are you, Tina? Tina's here in Long Island. Tina, we're having a beautiful day. And she says, hey, Steve, Long Island hugs to you. Could you please ask Marianne if in relationships art can be healing? I found that my husband and I took a art class, and while it was good, it was the art that we did at home that really tend to connect us more. Is this something that she has found before, and is there a service industry for art healing?
There is a service industry for art healing. There are professionals who do therapy with couples and children specifically, also victims of violent crimes and people in prison that have committed crimes. Art heals. Jenny Doe, D-O-H, has just released a book called Art Heals, and I would recommend that. Request it at your library or order a copy for yourself. Art does heal, because it's hard to tell lies with art. Your hand is moving and following musculature impulses that tend to tell the truth more than your mouth will. So, Tina, I really celebrate that you and your husband had the courage to do that together.
And thanks for your feedback. I want to keep going with some more. Let's go with Tracy. Tracy's in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she says, Steve, great show. Could you please talk to Mary into touring more often? And could you please ask with her journals? I'm curious if she's going to have a line of journals as well. We have filled hers, and if starting my own journal, she mentioned how she keeps hers. What does she do with hers after she's filled her journals? Does she keep them in a box? Does she put them in the bookshelf for others to see? What does she do with her journals when she fills them?
Tracy, I use the traditional composition books now, and have for the last 3 years. But throughout my lifetime, I've used everything from stenographer's pads to hand-bound, gorgeous, makes you drool over the paper books from Italy. I've used the whole spectrum. But now I keep a journal a month. And coming up here any day now, I'll be making my journal for the next month, for the month of July. The date gets written on the spine of the book, and it goes on my shelf for a year, or sometimes a year and a half. I look back. I teach myself. I call it U University, because I am instructing myself in my best practices, in the things that make me stumble. I look back and draw conclusions about patterns in my life and see where I am inadvertently making new mistakes. I sometimes make the same mistake over and over again, and so this helps me be more inventive about the kinds of mistakes that I'll make. And then after that, they go in a box.
Thank you for your feedback. We got about 4 minutes left. Lori asks, Steve and Marianne, love you both. We love hearing the authentic relationship you two share. It's great to have friends like that. What about us folks who don't have two brilliant people to contact? What do we have? How do we build our environment when we don't have a Marianne or Steve Maraboli to give us advice when we need? Thank you so much.
If it smells good, it's probably good. I'm going to quote Ellen Lambert again. And, Lori, when you meet someone and you say to yourself, now there's someone that would be a good friend, that's how you draw people into your life. You want to be the kind of person that someone, when they meet you, says, oh, I'd like to have her for a friend. And reciprocally, when you have that impulse and meet someone for the first time, you need to have the courage and the presence to just say, it's great to meet you, and I would love the opportunity to see you again sometime. Next month, I'm thinking about doing this. It sounds like a lot of fun to me. Would you like me to give you a call? And you just reach out and take the risk that they might say no. But Steve, don't we talk a lot about how important it is to have people in your life that are builders, that strengthen you rather than draw you down?
Absolutely, and we've talked about it at length on the show of how you get rid of the people who aren't and how you do it and how I do it, and it is vital. It is vital to have that. And, Lori, I want you to remember another thing also. Don't put it in your head that you don't have us. Marianne's written 9 books, and I flap my gums for 6 hours a week on this show. Are you kidding? You've totally got us.
That's true.
It's the truth, and you have access to exactly what we're talking about. The conversation may change, but believe me, what you hear Mary and I talking about right now and how we speak with each other, our phone conversations in person are no different. Might as well be recorded and put on the air. You do have us, and we're always there for you. We're always cheering you on, and our words are available to you 24 hours a day. Just make sure that you build an environment conducive to growth. That's really it. And you pay attention to your environment like you would your flower bed. You make sure who's in your personal space. And it's not even offensive. You don't have to look at it, take it personally when some people just don't have that role in your life. There are some people, Lori, that I don't talk to or hang out with I'm not mad at them, but I don't talk or hang out with them for the same reason I don't smoke. It's just not good for me. So it's really that matter of fact. You gotta, and I find, Lori, the older you get, the more important this even is that you really have to create an environment for yourself that's conducive to your growth, and never, ever, ever let anyone lead you to believe that you don't have Marianne and I or countless other people out there with you. We're with you. Just reach out. We're there. Believe me. And Marianne, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for participating in this wonderful journey with all of us. Congrats on us, and congrats on all the service that you're doing. I didn't get to a couple of feedbacks about the bullying. We'll make sure we get to that on the next show. And I want to thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Steve. I love you. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank
Bye.
You, too. Love you, too. Folks, what a fantastic show. Always great having Marianne on. And no second-hour feedback today. But good news is we will be starting with 100% feedback all summer long, shows that are 100% feedback. We had some fantastic topics. Make sure you check out empoweredlivingradio.com for that. We just had a great conversation with Marianne Rodmacher. Her website is mariannerodmacher.net. She is, of course, internationally best-selling author and artist who has touched the hearts of many with her popular cards, books, posters, journals, and she conducts workshops and writing seminars, and that Skype thing she was talking about was pretty cool, too. Make sure you check out mariannerodmacher.net. That's mariannerodmacher.net. And just tell her we said hi. Make sure you check out our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Get out there and make a difference. It's up to you. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and never forget, this New Yorker loves you. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A better today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.